Hello everybody, it's Vinny Eastwood here, just trialing out a little bit of something new and doing a live stream while the boy and I are walking. And I thought that I thought that might happen. There's a little bit of a difficulty here with the gimbal thing, so I'm just gonna adjust this for a moment. Hello, there we are. Can we sit that in there, and will it sit, is the question. It will. Okay. So this is a little bit of a difficult one to grasp technically while I'm walking the baby, and I'm supposed to be talking as well, so you'll have to forgive me if I need to adjust things a little from time to time. I think this will be better. Yeah, there we go. Welcome everybody, thank you for joining me on this, the first, or rather first time we've actually had the chance to celebrate me and Billy's anniversary of getting arrested on the 18th of August 2021, protesting the old lockdowns. And it was an extremely traumatic experience, not only for us, of course, but for our families. And a lot of the people watching, actually, were pretty shaken up by it. I remember my mate Mike, he got extremely depressed after that happened. And so did my archivist, Julia, who, thank you, Julia, by the way. She archived the show all the way back to 2016, so it's about half of the work and stuff like that that is required to go back and archive all the stuff. She did such an amazing job after the arrest. And Rebecca, my partner as well, she archived a lot of my deleted stuff onto the One Great Work Network as well. I'd thank them for supporting me through this, and the people at Revolution Radio, and of course Republic Broadcasting, where I do my show on New Zealand's Mondays at 9 a.m. and I think that's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time in the United States. That's a lot of duck poo. And yeah, there's been so much support that's come out over the last 2 years. It was extremely difficult initially because of the fact that we were banned for 6 weeks from accessing the internet. That was really tough, man. No internet when your sole income is internet based. You know, absolutely brutal. And I think we were pretty hamstrung at the time. Like, I remember when Counterswim got arrested, I think about a year later, for trumped up charges about sharing some link on Telegram, that they weren't banned from accessing the internet afterwards, but they had had all their equipment taken, you know. So there was a good team behind them to help support them, and I was there as well as Billy was to let people know about their arrest and let people know that they needed support. And of course there's so many others have been arrested since Billy and I were, Brian Tamaki, Liz Gunn, etc. And you have a argument in the court that says doing this kind of thing sends out a chilling effect, that people are going to look at what happens to people doing peaceful protesting or peaceful civil disobedience, and when they're viciously cracked down upon, it produces what's known as that chilling effect. So people go, oh, I don't want to do that. Now, that being said, after Billy and I were arrested, that's when the convoy and the protest to Wellington and Chantelle Baker and Brian Tamaki and the Freedom and Rights Coalition and everybody who now is standing for freedom and doing the alternative media thing or a freedom-based political party happened since I did the first opening shots and did the sort of Alex Jones thing here in New Zealand, as Billy says, you know, doing the radio, doing the video, going out and ambushing the politicians and so on and so forth. And now we've got new blood doing it, which is great. And first to do the proper live streams on American radio and all of that kind of thing. So we've really paved the way, you might think, for those that have come and are here now. So has there really truly been a chilling effect? Because as we saw in the Milgram experiments, where they had somebody wearing a white lab coat. Oh my goodness, I've got to show you fellas this right here. This is a Green Party sign, and right there it says, the time is now to stop using 1080 poison, the Green Party. You know, these people are not green, except the 1080 pellets are green, I guess. But those of you who don't know this, it's one of the most toxic endocrine disruptors in the world. It's an endocrine disruptor at parts per trillion. And it's so expensive to test for that when people die of unknown illnesses and they think it might be 1080, they don't test for it and log the death as something else. And they dump it into our waterways, they dump it into our pristine bushland and stuff like that. You go in afterwards and you can't hear a single bird singing. And that's what the Green Party supports, 1080, you know. There's only one country in the world. Oh, maybe there's only a couple countries in the world, maybe, that license it for outdoor use. And New Zealand is one of them. And last I did the research, we were spending maybe $50 million a year on this stuff. And that's getting into our drinking water and giving people birth defects and things like that. I believe one kid down in the Waikato was born with 7 urethras. That's 7 holes to piss out of. All right, this stuff is bad. So whoever vandalized that sign, I agree with the sentiment. However, I don't necessarily agree with vandalism. But hey, you know what the old saying is, by hook or by crook. But I can't endorse people vandalising other people's signs, man. Because I think I actually saw a couple of other ones. It's election season in New Zealand, you know. You can tell because all the signs are out. All the signs are there. And so I've seen the National Party and Freedom Party signs being vandalised. But very rarely do you see a Green or Labour Party sign being vandalised, and especially not vandalised in a way that destroys the sign, you know. They just absolutely rip the heck out of the right wing, and it just shows you the sort of left-wing mentality. And also what's happening now is there's so much foment and anger and hatred in New Zealand, politically speaking, that we have... Oh, thank you very much. Lovely bus driver who's not wearing a mask. That's funny, because that was exactly what I said around about this time 2 years ago. When we were walking up Queen Street, which is dead, apart from one bus that we saw coming up with a bus driver that wasn't wearing a mask, and I said good on him. You see the people wearing masks everywhere? Yeah. It's disconcerting, to say the least. It's still going on. You still see them, especially all the medical staff and things of that nature. I do go into the medical centre to see my counsellor, and he has to wear a mask all the time, and he gets sick all the time. You know, you're supposed to have a weekly counselling session, and maybe like once a month or something like that. He can't make it because he's ill, and he knows it's because of the mask, but he can't he can't take it off. He's not allowed to. He's just, it's ruthless, man. People are just getting sick and dying, and they're wearing masks on top of that, right? You see the stats come out. Guy Hatchard published it the other day, that there has been an increase, I think, in deaths in New Zealand by like 5,000, a decrease in live births by like 7,000, and when you couple that with the immigration and employment statistics, where 12,000 New Zealand citizens left New Zealand in July alone, 12,000. We're a country of 5 million people. That's a significant bunch of skilled people getting the F out of here. On top of that, a further 26% of the entire workforce, 10% of the workforce is already gone. They've already left the country. And a further 26% that are left are thinking about it. Alright, so in total that's 36% of the country's workforce who have either left or are thinking about leaving. On top of that, we have the statistics that the government published yesterday, that there were a significant increase in the number of migrants that we're having. They said record numbers of migrants, they said, and at the same time, record numbers of New Zealand citizens leaving. Okay? And people are like worried, and perhaps they really effing should be, about mass immigration bringing some of the problems that we've seen in, say, for example, England, with Pakistani rape gangs and things of that nature, where men would hire out a house so that they could rape Western girls in, all right? They'd have a chalkboard outside, and they'd have their name on the board, and they'd just tick the box next to their name however many times they used the house to rape English girls that week, and then pay at the end of the week for the amount of time that they spent in that house raping girls, right? As in totally systematic, disgusting, violent treatment. And the police and the government won't do anything about it because they've already been infiltrated by these people. It says in the, apparently the Hadiths, which is a rather extreme sect of Islam, that by the sword or by the womb you shall conquer them. And so we're having record immigration here, and just heard a story the other day about a house in East Auckland that had 40 men living in it. 40 grown men, like 30s and 40s and stuff like that, living in a single house. This country is going absolutely crazy, and I've been standing against this kind of madness for longer than anyone in this country's history, in terms of being a radio broadcaster, being a videographer, a YouTuber, and making videos about this sort of thing. I've done it longer than anybody else. So I've seen firsthand the decline, and I've heard firsthand from the people who've been researching what's been going on here and how bad it's getting in virtually every single sector. Now, if you want to think about government departments and police and things of that nature, what happens is you get good people who are in those positions, what you might call allegedly good people. I still think it's debatable whether or not any cop is a good person because of the nature of the job, following orders, doing what you're told, not exercising your conscience and things like that. So I think when you're looking at these people in these positions of power, think of them as positions of power that used to be occupied by somebody good, and then the culture changed and those good people were like, nah man, I can't do this anymore. There's too many psychos, it's too much hassle, it's too much stress, I just can't be bothered, I'm leaving this job, I'm gonna go to Australia, you know. And so you're left with those very people who were the reason why good people left are the only ones left to be in charge of those institutions. So let's say if Auckland Airport and the ports of Auckland and the New Zealand police were run by psychotic scum. All right, now we're not talking about every single person and member of these organizations. I'm just talking about the very top brass, the people who are making things worse, very specifically those top brass people. Imagine what they could get away with. Because if you look at the methodology of enforcement against corruption, the only people who could really bring any of them to justice are the very people that are corrupt. Somebody was telling me the other day is there needs to be, sorry guys, lost transmission there for a second, there needs to be a replacement rather of many of the people in these key positions, which echoed to me something that G. Edward Griffin told me long ago, that he created Freedom Force International specifically because non libertate non possunt, which means those without freedom can, those without power cannot defend freedom. Okay, and words to that effect. So he advocated that people be running for local office and chief dog catcher, whatever position that you can possibly get yourself into that has any kind of power or sway. If you believe in freedom, it is your responsibility to try and get the reins of power into safer hands, and your hands would be far safer than the current hands that they're in. Alright, I don't care if you are lazy or stupid or basically don't know what you're doing, you'd still be better for the position because you're operating with a conscience. You know, if you've got people in those positions without no conscience, everything's going to go wrong. And somebody's saying, look at the 5G towers behind. Yeah, isn't that interesting? During the lockdown, so they started going up like mushrooms in a cow paddock. And a lot of people don't know this, and this is a thing that really scares a lot of people, and it bloody well should. Are you holding your phone right now? Are you using Wi-Fi or data or something of that nature? Because if you are, you're getting slow roasted, okay? Slow roasted by the electromagnetic waves that are coming off your device. Even me right now, while I'm doing this live streaming, I'm conscious of this and I don't like it. So these things are affecting us on a cellular level, whether or not you recognize it. And 3% of people can actually feel it. They can feel their cells being slow roasted, giving freaking headaches and nausea and that kind of thing. I was sitting next to a lady at a anti-5G meeting, and I was uploading the video of the 5G meeting that we had just done at the restaurant afterwards, sitting next to her, and she started feeling sick. So I turned it on flight mode, and then she stopped feeling sick. Okay, some people are electrosensitive. Now, what SpaceX has said is that there's going to be 100% coverage of New Zealand via their satellite Wi-Fi technology. So where are these people who are electrosensitive going to live? All right, are they going to live in little Faraday cage homes and things of that nature? They may have to. This is a brutal assault, and what people don't know is the probably the work of Mark Steele, who's a former electronic weapons designer in the UK. I believe he worked for the military. And he cracked open one of these 5G transmitters and had a look at the parts. And they were the same parts that he would be using if he was making a psychotronic weapon. Have you heard of psychotronics? Psychological electronic weapons. Psychotronic weapons. It means you can point a beam at somebody or broadcast a signal over an area, and the particular part of your brain that has a frequency for a particular emotion, like fear, dread, depression, suicide, anger, or love for that matter, they can emit these frequencies with these devices and force a physiological response out of you that will affect your psychology, right? Body affecting the mind through the use of advanced technology. So when we are looking at the explosion of mental illness that's been happening, and I'm sure if you read the comment sections on in most places, you'll know what I'm talking about when I talk about mental illness exploding. Particularly narcissism, psychopathy, and sadism, which is what psychology today says that the vast majority of internet trolls are. But I digress. These things that we're seeing, they may be getting caused, possibly, partially, by these frequencies that we're being exposed to, that we're exposing ourselves to, even while you're watching people who are trying to warn you about them, like me. you're still being exposed to the poison. And that's why it's so inescapable and so frightening for people, because it's something they use. In general, a lot of people will be using a device or have a device on them that's on and off of flight mode all day, every day. Some people sleep with their phones and they wonder why they can't get any sleep. The reason why you can't get any sleep is because the hair follicles and skin on your body reacts to light. You see, I'm stepping into the sunshine right now. My body knows the difference between light and dark, and it needs dark to sleep. Now, when you are being bombarded by Wi-Fi all night long, or your cell phone signal all night long, some people sleep with it under their pillows. That's brain cancer right there. You know, something just passed me. I was like, oh, that's brain cancer right there. When you've been bombarded by these, your body interprets those waves as light and prevents your brain from releasing the right chemicals to allow you to have a proper sleep. So you desperately, desperately need, unless there's some kind of frickin' emergency, to be going to bed after you've turned off the Wi-Fi and put your phone on flight mode. Or even better yet, if you can't put your phone on flight mode, just put it on the other end of the house or something like that. Not within reach, something you'd actually have to go out of bed deliberately to go and get if you wanted to. The amount of sleep deprivation that people are suffering can be, I believe, in large part directly linked to this phenomenon. And if you're in an apartment complex where you have hundreds of people living within a small confined zone, and each one of those people in each one of those apartments has their own Wi-Fi going, that is a recipe for disaster. And guess where they want everybody to live now? Alongside railroad tracks and their Agenda 21 smart cities, bathed in the Wi-Fi and the 5G along the sides of the roads everywhere. You know, stick that in your pipe and smoke it, eh? It's absolutely brutal, mate. There's no escape, okay? And this will trigger a fear response in a lot of people, as well it should. But there's a number of different ways in which fear can affect you. One of them is to submit. To just go, okay, I'll just get along with it, you know. Or to run away. Oh, okay, I don't want to listen to this. I'll ignore it and hopefully it'll go away. And some of them will even attach to the predator that is assailing them. And they, if I'm just so nice to them that they'll give me a job working in the government or something. It's like, you know, I love them so much and I hate everybody who says anything bad about them. Oh, the government, oh, I love them. You know, this kind of madness that is infecting people. It's cowardice, apathy, ignorance, and laziness. Okay? And I've got to tell you, I'm being affected by it. And don't lie, you are too from time to time. Sometimes you don't have the courage to say what you want to say, do what you want to do. Sometimes you can't be bothered doing what you have to do, what you should be doing. Sometimes you just don't care when you should care, right? And sometimes you choose not to listen to something, not because it's not important, not because it's not true, but because you just don't want to deal with the hassle, okay? Laziness, ignorance, apathy, and cowardice. Those are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So if you want to ward off the apocalypse, stop doing those things, you know? Or at least recognize that you are doing them and try to take steps to undo that stuff, you know? Like I was feeling all of those things this morning. I got to tell you. So what did I do about it? I took my baby boy for a walk and I did a live stream. Okay? That's what I did in order to stave off the apocalypse. It's like Gandalf said, it's the small things and the little acts of kindness and love of ordinary folk that keeps the darkness at bay. You know, great evil isn't necessarily opposed by great good at times. It's just a little bit of good that you do for the people you love and for each other, just because you can, just because you should, you know? I ran into a guy at the mall yesterday, named Joel, and he didn't have a car to get home to Avondale, and so Rebecca was coming to pick me up anyway, so we drove him home. You know, what do you do for people who can't do something for themselves? You know, what you're able to. And sometimes, you know, people come into your life and you don't know if you'll ever see them again or anything, but you felt that you just did some good for somebody, just for no real other reason other than just doing the fact. And that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. We are in a wonderful, wonderful world where you could theoretically do the right thing all the time, except you will experience consequences for doing the right thing just as much as you will experience consequences for doing the wrong thing. You know, if you've got a conscience like me and you do something bad, oh man, that's painful. You know, and people try to punish you for the bad things you're doing, and it's like, man, trust me, I'm punished. Please believe me, I'm punished. And that's the interesting thing about the justice system, is how much punishment do you have to endure in whatever forms you have to endure it before you're deemed punished enough? And how long ago does that have to have happened, and how much work on yourself do you need to do before you quote-unquote get over it? So this is a question I'm kind of contemplating at the moment, and I'm cognizant of the fact that I've got a lot of listeners that have lots of problems that they're going through. You know, it's literally my job is to talk to people who've got problems that they're going through that they don't know exactly how to handle. So I think the more talking we do about things, the better. Because when you're suffering in silence and you can't say the things that are in your mind, you're making a compromise against yourself. And I remember Angela Foreman, who used to sponsor my show from the Gourmet Soap Kitchen, and she got me Dr. Leonard Coldwell on the show. Guy's cured, like, he claims 30,000 people of cancer. And he says that the thing that causes cancer is making compromises against yourself. Okay? Really, really think about that. The reason why something eats at you grows to such a degree that it kills you is because you're making compromises against yourself. You're trying to do it for somebody else. And what that means is, it doesn't mean you can't do good things for other people and what have you. What it means is you shouldn't do good things to people at the compromise of yourself, your morality, okay? What you believe to be true and the right thing. You ever had somebody who's a bit of a dick and they ask you for a ride, and you don't want to be rude, so you give them a ride? That'll give you cancer. Like, oh, you know, over a period of time, bro. Crazy ass. And I'm getting some rain clouds overhead, so I'm going to have to hightail it home a little bit faster than we've been walking around. I'm trying to take a good 90-minute walk so that mama can get some sleeps. And I think it was 7:47 when we left. It's now 8:35. What's that? That's nearly 50 minutes. So on the way back, we should be arriving home just on time for her to give that 90 minutes of rest that she needs. Because, oh yes, she is very tired. And speaking of very tired, this little bubby. Oh, he's so cute. So sweet. So full pair. That's why daddy love him. is precious, isn't it? And I like being a deadhead. I like deadheading. It's very fun and enjoyable. But of course, the mummy, she has it a lot harder than me. He keeps her awake. Oh boy, does it keep her awake. That poor mummy. And she's like, you know, he's just lucky he's cute. And I was like, yeah, man, nature's not an idiot, eh? Because you can imagine if you were flatting with somebody and they would cry in order to get you to feed them. And they would kick you all night long and make grisly noises and stuff. You know, imagine if your baby was like a flatmate instead. You know, how quickly would you begin to very much loathe them? But because they're your baby, it's completely different. You're just like, man, I'm tired. But God, gosh dang it, you're cute. You know? There's some babies, man. Honestly, if you haven't had your babies yet, I highly recommend it. Gotta get some good new truth of babies into the world, man. Oh yes. Especially if you're unjabbed, because you might be one of the few people who are fertile still. And so it's kind of your responsibility to breed if you have any reasonable intelligence and fertility to boot. Because if you don't, there's going to be nothing but morons running around. And that means that if the electricity goes off one day, there won't be anybody smart enough to turn it the frick back on. So guys, ladies, seriously, go out. Have your truth of babies. Raise them well. Love them. Take them out for walks and things of that nature. Try to be the best example you can. It's tough. It's difficult. So on and so forth. But that's what life is really about. If you have a life, but you don't have any struggle, your life doesn't have any purpose, in my opinion. You're meant to struggle, but that struggle should have some kind of purpose, some kind of meaning, and creating a beautiful little baby and giving them lots of love and attention that they need and all that care so that they can grow up to be a good and decent human being who does good things in the world, you know, that seems very purposeful. And so you can see why there's a lot of mothers out there who don't agree with the tenet of feminism that you're a mother can do it all, you know, work a full-time job and come home and take care of the kids and stuff like that. It's like a lot of ladies are like, no, I can't do that. It's one or the other. And unfortunately, because women have got a biological clock, if they stay in their career for too long, they might miss their window and not be able to have a family. And that's kind of very, very sad for some ladies who've missed that window. And nowadays, there's so few good men out there because the New World Order has corrupted the education, the entertainment system. They've flooded the world with drugs and porn and video games and things of that nature. That's got men off of their game, which is to build and create. All right, the great man's t-shirt that I saw, I think I said, I am a man, I fix things, and I know stuff. That's absolutely classic, man. I laughed my head off when I saw that, bro. I'm always going to remember that. You know, I don't know what it is, how some things give you a big laugh, and they're so small and so fleeting and so stupid that you wonder why you remember them, right? I think it's because it resonates. That's what humor's supposed to do. It's supposed to give you something to chew on or mull over. I remember watching The Pope's Exorcist, and the exorcist asked this priest, "Do you know any jokes?" And the priest goes, no, I don't know any jokes. And he goes, "Oh, that's a shame. The devil hates jokes." Yeah, it's just, yeah, man. They keep cracking on at us to make us break. Okay? If you can keep your sense of humor, you won't break. All right? You might become a little bit fragile, and you might be suffering and so on and so forth. But if you can still laugh about stuff, you're not completely broken. And so you don't necessarily need to be fixed per se. It's just something that at certain times of your life, you really have to go through this, what they call the dark night of the soul, where things are not easy for a period of time. And looking forward at the projected statistics, Deagle.com, apparently a very prestigious population statistic predictive company, big building, big company, and they release population statistics and projections. The population of the United States is currently about 300 million US citizens. Deagle.com released a report, I think in May of this year, if I remember correctly, I might have that mixed up, that said that the population by 2025 won't be 300 million anymore, it'll be 100 million. Now, earlier on in the video I talked about information I got off Dr. Guy Hatchard about the increase in the death rate and the decrease in the live birth rate. And what I didn't mention is the increase in the disability rate, as in somebody has a disability where they can't work. Now, at any one time, the population of New Zealand might have about between 5 and 10% maybe, tops, of people who are so disabled that they can't work. Now, whatever number that was has increased by 37%, okay? So almost half as many disabled people as there were, there's now that many more of them. So we're getting dumber, we're getting sicker, we're not getting as much sleep, we're way too stressed out, and the government's mandated fluoride, so we've got carcinogens and spermicides in the water. If you're drinking the tap water or the bottled water, nope. You think you can get your away with the bottled water? It doesn't work that way, man. They just fill that up at a bathtub in South Auckland. You know, some guy just sitting in there, balls out. I'm joking, okay, the devil hates jokes. So, the food supply as well, Guy Hatcher talked about the new bill that is restricting medicines and natural supplements and ingredients even at this point, and replacing them with artificial equivalents, which are, you remember when artificial sweeteners were considered safe? Yeah, turns out they weren't safe. They turned into formaldehyde at room temperature. That's what you use to embalm bodies to stop them going bad, and you're drinking it in your soft drinks. And you wonder why you look so youthful. This is all happening just very fast, but it's actually happening and has happened very, very, very slowly, hasn't it? Well, we're talking about like 100 years, 200 years, or however many generations, could be thousands of years, that people have been trying to take control of the planet, take control of people's minds, take control of their resources, take control of their water, their food, their justice systems, their police forces and militaries. Slowly but surely, they drew their plans against us. So here we are in a beautiful world that knows for a fact that the beauty is being attacked, is being destroyed, and that kind of thirst for freedom and beauty that a lot of us tend to have can get corrupted like a computer file. You ever notice, and this happened to me, I've since grew out of it, but it might still be happening to you if you're new to this. Once you find out that not all is as it seems, once you find out that how asleep everybody is, you begin to look down on them, all right? Because you resent the fact that they're perfectly happy whilst all this stuff is going on, that they're not only completely unaware of, but they don't want to disrupt their wonderful days by learning about it. You've learned about it. You know at least some part of how bad things are. And you begin to get angry and upset with people because they don't and they won't. It feels like ever, you know, wake up. And they say that as a salesman, the hardest person to sell to a product would be your family members. Now, I know a lot of people have tried to wake up their family. Tried. I didn't. You know, what do you mean? You're Vinnie Eastwood. Of course you tried to wake up your family. Yeah, initially. And then I realized that trying to wake people up doesn't actually work. You've just got to be an example. All right, so if I started, quit a job that was paying me $5,000 after tax a month, all right, and got $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers to spend at a mall where I could buy anything I wanted, basically. And I quit that and spent most of that money buying the equipment so that I can be a broke-ass activist ambushing powerful politicians and asking them questions that they don't want to hear. Immediately, the assumption is, look, you're really not very mature, Vinny. But after I've been doing it for a decade, and the amount of people you've talked to and the amount of things you've actually done in the name of your beliefs and ideals, then people look at you differently. They don't see you as immature or stupid or making a bad decision. They actually tend to respect you just a little bit more. And depending on how successful you actually are at it. And in terms of people in New Zealand, I think back in probably about 2012, I think maybe 4 years after I started, that was when I really hit my peak. And yeah, some things happened with a man named Pete Santilli. If you ever want to go and onto YouTube, somebody stole the video, and I'm glad that they did, because all the rest of my work got deleted. The unauthorized biography of Pete Santilli. Now, this brings me on to another topic point, because we are in election season, as we speak. And there are a number of freedom parties. There's Liz Gunn and Matt King, Brian Tamaki and Sue Gray, and there's new conservatives as well, and just a whole array of freedom parties that have come out. So now, back in the day, a lot of these little parties joined Billy TK you know, and a number of them didn't. And Billy made a run for it. And he probably made the best one anybody's ever made for freedom in this country in terms of politicking, because he was calling out the communist side of the government, their Agenda 21 protocols, their WHO stuff and what have you. And now there's new people, and I'm glad that there are new people, because if they become as successful as Billy in the run that he did make, they will discover, as Billy did, how brutally the system will assault you. Like, let me put it like this. Last night I was on a show with Billy, and we're doing another show today at 12:30, I think. And he told me that during his arraignment for his, well, fraudulent fraud charges, he is going to have to be in jail, right, in the holding cells, sleeping, eating, and staying in there for as much as 4 days while his trial is going on, right? And these are bogus fraud charges in the first place, but that's just what they do. He became the number one threat to the agenda of tyranny in this country by terms of popularity, presence, and optics, and so he needed to be destroyed. And I was standing right next to him, so I figured, well, let's kill two birds with one stone. So that was, I think, what was particularly difficult for us, is that as the numero uno and numero dos of the anti-tyranny movement in New Zealand, it was a massive blow to the freedom movement, and it left a vacuum. And that vacuum did get filled by a whole bunch of people. God bless them. And now we're trying to contest the election. And Billy TK and I am not contesting the election, of course. Not at this stage anyway. Billy's over it. Especially over the 50 grand of legal bills he's already had to pay, and probably another 50k to go. Hello. Oh, look, it's my neighbour. Hey, Hannah. Hey. How you doing?
Good.
So, hello. So, yeah, man, it's... what do you guys think? I mean, I know for a fact that after we got arrested and then people started protesting in Wellington, that they weren't going to be successful in their protest, that they were just going to be moved on by any force that was able to be brought to bear. And I was right. I wasn't just being cynical, I was just reading the terrain. Here's two guys doing a peaceful protest, less than 100 people, getting 3 and 4 months in prison. And then here's a whole bunch of people occupying Parliament with tents and so forth, chanting peace and love. And they think that these sociopaths, who don't know the meaning of either of those words, are going to listen to them after what they did to us so freaking brutally and blatantly at the hands of Black Curran. That's Luke Curran, by the way. Is he a sergeant? He's probably going to be promoted to detective, honestly. I remember I got busted when I was in university for selling weed in 2003, end of 2003, early 2004, I forget exactly which, but then he lied to me and he told me that if I'm honest with him, he'll go easy on me, and then used all the evidence that I gave him against me, okay? And that was Constable Hamish Barons at the time. And I did a search up on the Dunedin Police Force. He's still there. He's now Detective Hamish Barons. So if you're a liar and a deceiver, you know, and a bad person, generally speaking, you probably go pretty far in the police. So I can see Luke Curran, or Black Curran as I call him. He's not black, by the way, he's white. This is a play on the black currants and how much vitamin C they allegedly have. Incidentally, Ribena got busted one time because they advertised that Ribena had 4 times the vitamin C of orange juice, when the reality is they didn't use any black currants, just flavouring. And that's what black currant represents to me. Someone with no substance, just flavour. You know, the flavour of tyranny that leaves that bad kind of icky taste in the back of your mouth, you know, like after you've done drinking a glass of Coca-Cola, and the salt in the Coca-Cola leaves you thirstier. It's like that. No thirst shall be quenched. So I'm like looking at these people and their scumbaggery, you know, collectively, and thinking about how much damage it's actually doing. And am I ruining the reputation of New Zealand here? Right? Because I certainly hope so, because the reputation of New Zealand should be held in disrepute, okay? Because of the fact that we're allegedly a first world nation, and now we are basically quicker and quicker becoming a third world nation, and a tyrannical despotism has descended, and it is literally killing people, okay? People are dying in this country every day, and much of those deaths, regardless of cause, can be attributed to the system that people have allowed to be built around them. The system is the enemy, okay? Not the people necessarily in it. Of course, the Matrix does have its agents, but it's the systemic flow of information, okay? People aren't getting the information about this. What is communism? What is tyranny? What is democide? Well, that's when you get exterminated by the people you elected to keep you safe. Democide, yeah. Leading cause of unnatural death in the 20th century. Really? Yeah, man. We're not careful, it'll be the leading cause of death in our century too. In point of fact, if I still had archives, I'm still pissed about that. I'm still pissed off about the fact that they took my life's work off of YouTube. It was so easy to find stuff. Anyway, you would be able to go back to the 2009 or 2008 swine flu pandemic, where a bunch of vaccines they got tested on stoats at the outset of that pandemic, which they changed the definition of pandemic at that time to a disease that is in more than one country. My God, it's a pandemic. Somebody's got a cold in England and New York. You know, this is just crazy making. It's just so that they can grease the wheels, you know? So when this takeover of the media happened, I was unsurprised by it. And not unprepared for it, because that's what's strange about knowing the truth about things and knowing it for so long, is that many people like us are still confused. How can people still not see it? I've seen it for all these years. Yeah, because you're looking at it subjectively, right? You're on the inside looking out, mate. You know why things are the way they are. You know about the miseducation and the indoctrination and the mind control and the pervasive religion that really is operating it at the moment, namely government, which in Latin of course means mind control. Governe to control, mente the mind. It's pretty straightforward what they're trying to do to you. And we consent to it. And that consent needs to be withdrawn, and we need to become better, and then the country will become better, not before. So thank you guys for watching, and thank you to little Alfie for being such a good boy. Bobby, hey Baba, Daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. You know why, don't you? Because he's so cute. Oh, that boy. Oh, he's a good boy, isn't he? Very sweet. Been good the whole trip. All right, now I'll get him back to his mummy so he can have a little bit of num num and get himself back to sleep again. We'll have a bit of a play maybe. Maybe he don't want to be stuck in here. Regardless, I love my baby. He's very, very cute. Very, very sweet. And I'm going to love him until I die from it. Alright, thank you guys for watching this. Happy anniversary, 2-year anniversary of the Vinny Eastwood Show being freaking arrested. And alongside Billy TK. And we'll be rejoining Billy TK at 12:30. That's half past midday today. What's that, in 3.5 hours I think, and we'll be live on Twitch, the Vinny Eastwood Show channel on YouTube, and the Vinny Eastwood Show page on Facebook, guys. So thank you so much for your time, thank you so much for your attention, and donate at www.thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news.